Hello everyone, I'm Drew.
I'm Bailey.
And we're sarcastic, so let's get sinister.
Lacey's not here.
I was gonna say, should we address the elephant in the room?
I was gonna
Or
say before you went into the final bit of our intro saying, and Lacey's not here. But
people
I think
might
it's
have
gonna be hard
figured
to
it out.
miss the elephant in the room,
I mean,
especially if you're
people, most of the people
podcasting.
that listen to us are listening to us, so they might just think that she's being very quiet. We could have
True.
tried to get away with it.
It's definitely not a Lacey episode.
So, for our listeners, Lacey is going to be out of the office this week, but she is listening. And there will be a quiz. I've already written one up. It's five questions.
For her, not for me, right?
No, I mean, you can answer. I assume that you'll be paying attention.
I'll never
She,
tell.
listen, I made her a quiz because she said that she's promising that she'll listen to this episode. And so I made her a quiz to make sure that she does. It's five questions, so real quick. And I
Multiple
think
choice or
that,
open-ended?
huh?
Multiple choice or open-ended?
Yes or no questions? I don't know. Hold on.
Oh, those aren't very hard then.
Well, let me run through it real quick. Okay, so like question one, how many people were murdered?
Okay.
I mean, I can send it to you, and then when we're all done, like you could do that thing that they do where like you answer as we go, like
Oh.
they do in school to make sure that you're paying attention to the video.
An open textbook quiz.
No, like when you're watching a movie and the teacher doesn't want you to be like falling asleep, so you have to fill out the worksheet.
Okay.
Lacey knows what I'm talking about. Right now, she's sitting at home in her bed, listening to the episode and saying, Yes, I do that shit. I bet you she does. She seems like that kind of person.
Yeah. In a few days, we'll get a text saying yes.
A few days tomorrow, Brandon has the Patreon, so he's gonna get
Oh.
the video tomorrow.
Oh.
And I'm going
Do you
to
think we'll watch it
insist.
together?
I'm going to insist that she watches it immediately.
Okay. So we gotta be extra funny.
Do we? It's
Don't
Lacey.
know. Let's hope I mean the rest of the rest of our
Oh, yeah, I
listeners.
guess. I mean, I feel like we don't need to be extra funny. I don't, whatever. Let's just see. Let's
I
just.
do feel like, full warning, I think this is going to be probably more sarcastic. So I think Lacey's our buffer.
Yeah. I
Strap
don't.
in, everybody.
Well, I was gonna agree with you, but then like the episode today, as the listeners know because they clicked it, is called. Oh, I'm gonna do a big reveal. Hold on.
Should I be like doing a drum roll?
Yeah. The Pike County Massacre. That's Pike County.
It's really pretty.
Yeah.
Where are we, Florida?
Ohio.
Ohio? What? Ohio doesn't have places that look that pretty.
They do in Pike County.
Okay.
I promise I Googled Pike County, Ohio, found that picture, and put it up there because I was like, pretty.
Okay. All right. Let's get into
Okay. So, on April 22nd, 2016, at around 8 a.m., police were alerted to multiple bodies being found in Pike County, Ohio. Bobby Jo Manley discovered a massacre when she went to feed her sister's family dogs and chickens. Eight members of the Roden and Gilly family were found executed. What followed was the largest homicide investigation in Ohio history. 2.5 years later, in November 2018, four members of another family were arrested after police discovered that they had studied the victim's habits and routines, planning the massacre for months.
Oh, so it's a group. It's a group that massacred everyone. Okay.
So I'm going to introduce you to the victims now.
What?
Dana Lynn Manley was born August 29th, 1978, to Leonard and Judy Manley. Dana was the third of four children. Bobby Joe was Dana's little sister. Bobby Joe's the one who found everybody. Dana married Christopher Roden in 1994 when she was 16. Dana worked as a full-time nursing assistant at the Hillside Skilled Nursing and Rehab Center in Peebles, which is a town located 10 miles away from her home. Her employer described her as a kind and caring worker who was loved by patients and co-workers, and the director of nursing at the rehab center described Dana as having a heart of gold, and she was extremely giving and excellent at what she did. Others described her as bubbly, hardworking, and had a huge heart who loved her children. She was 37 at the time of her murder. Christopher Don Roden Sr. was born September 17th, 1975, to Clarence and Geneva Roden. In 2007, Chris and Dana divorced but remained close. Dana had her relationship status set to "It's complicated" since 2015. Before splitting, Chris and Dana had three children: Clarence, aka Frankie, Hannah Mae, and Christopher Jr.
Anna Mae is a really cute name. Wait, she was 37 when she died.
Yes.
When did she
She
start having kids?
married Chris when she was 16.
Oh,
And
she like they all the kids are adults.
no.
Okay, well they look at least like encroaching on 18.
Yeah, it was all right. I can tell you real quick. So her oldest is Frankie.
Yeah.
He was born in 1995.
So he's a year older than me.
So she had him when she was 17.
Okay.
Okay,
So
so
he was 20.
back to Chris. Chris Sr. was described as being a quiet man who worked a patchwork of jobs. He helped build Big Bear Family Resort in Lucasville, and he built decks and playgrounds at that campground. He bought and rebuilt salvage cars. His best friend was his cousin, Gary Roden. They were like brothers. Chris was 40 when he was murdered. Chris and Dana's oldest son, Frankie, was born August 10th, 1995. Yes.
So he was 19 when he married a 16-year-old?
Yeah. I mean, if you're gonna start getting like we're like if you're gonna start causing a fuss about that, you're not gonna like where we head further in.
Okay.
Okay? It's a bit of a reoccurring theme here. Let's not start fussing about it this early on.
Right.
So, Chris and Dana's oldest son, Frankie, was born August 10th, 1995. He was a father of two boys at the time of his murder. At 15, he began dating Chelsea Robinson, and on September 26, 2012, Chelsea gave birth to Frankie's son, Brentley, when they were both 16. Chelsea and Frankie broke up in November 2015. Although their relationship didn't work out, they still had love for each other. They shared custody of Brentley, with Chelsea describing Frankie as being a good dad. Frankie's fiance, Hannah, had given birth to his second son, Ruger Lee, 6 months
Ruger.
earlier in October. So when Frankie was murdered, he had a 6-month-old baby.
Gotcha.
Frankie worked maintenance at the Big Bear Lake Family Resort and McCoy Lumber. He graduated high school in 2012 and studied welding at the local career tech center. He enjoyed spending time with his family and friends, fishing and hunting. He also enjoyed Demolition Derby and his prized 1990s model Ford Crown Victoria. At the time of his murder, he was 20 years old. Frankie's fiance, Hannah, Frankie's fiance, Hannah, aka Hazel, I think Hazel was her middle name.
I was confused. I was like, if he has a fiance named Hannah, who's the girl in the picture that's clearly sitting on his lap?
Yeah, I think she went by her middle name, which was Hazel, which makes it
Okay.
easier because there are two Hannahs in this story.
Yeah. Well, that's
So,
Hannah Mae.
you're right. I'll be calling her Hazel from now on. Hannah Hazel Gilley was born February 28th, 1996. In high school, she participated in 4-H and was on the homecoming court. Do you know what 4-H is?
Yes.
Okay, because it had been like I did this research, and I was like, "What's 4-H?" And then I was listening to a song. Oh, it's a shame Lacey's not here because she knows it. The song about Earl. Earl had to die. That song. Lacey, help me.
Goodbye, Earl, the Chicks.
What is it?
Goodbye, Earl,
Yeah, that
by
one.
the Chicks.
They mentioned the 4-H club. And I was like, okay, what is the
never heard
4-H?
that. I've never heard that song.
Oh,
Yes.
it's about two best friends and they
Sure.
graduate high school and one
Okay.
moves away and the other one kind of gets stuck in town and she settles for a guy. They get married and then he beats the shit out of her and sends her to the ICU. And her friend is like, oh no. And so she immediately flies back and she's like, girl, you can't do this again. So they get a restraining order, but Earl just walks right through that restraining order. So then they kill Earl and nobody misses him. So the 4-H club is like heart, head, happiness, something like that, right?
I mean, I know it has something to do with horses and
That's
like,
what, okay, so Lou said that,
yeah.
but then I Googled the 4-H club and it didn't have anything to do with horses. Positive youth development.
Mean, it's no, the 4-H, it's a horse program.
Okay.
It's for like teaching equestrian skills at a young age.
Okay,
I
well.
know. I know about that because one, I work with a lot of people that are large animal people that did 4-H, and also the first college I went to, Del Valle, was like very like equestrian heavy, so
Okay, so then how come every time I put in what is the 4-H club, I keep getting America's largest youth development organization?
because you have to put in horses.
It seems like a very niche. Oh, that's the Pennsylvania 4-H horse program.
So, in 4-H animal projects, the 4-H refers to organizations' core values, head, heart, hands, health, which are developed through hands-on learning and engagement with animals and agricultural practices.
Yeah.
So, equestrian and farm life.
Okay. Farm life could be cows, bovine. Anyway, Hazel was a member of 4-H Club, and she was also on the homecoming court. During an interview for the homecoming court, she said her favorite hobbies were riding four-wheelers, going mudding, and hanging out with friends. At that
Nutting.
time, Hazel said she planned to go to college, obtain a business degree, and open a daycare. She was also 20 years old when she was murdered. Chris
She
and
was
Dana, huh?
she so he she is his second baby mama. She had the 6 month old.
Yes.
Where was the 6 month old at the other grandparents' house when this happened?
I'll tell you all about it.
Okay.
We're barely into the story.
I'm already concerned.
Chris and Dana's only daughter, Hannah Mae, was born April 7th, 1997, which I thought Lacey would like because that's like her due date, but she's not here.
Damn it, Lacey.
She had been dating a guy named Corey Holdren since October 2015, and just so remind you, this is the end of April 2016. She had two daughters. Sophia Wagner was 2 years old, and Kylie Roden was just born on April 17th. So, like 5 days old. Hannah, like her mother, worked as a CNA at Edgewood Manor Nursing Home. She was due to graduate from Piketown High School in May 2016. On her Facebook, Hannah had written in her bio, quote, "I had a pretty rough start, but have come out on the better side. I'm beyond happy of where I am today," end quote. And she also wrote that her favorite quote was, "Every saint has a past and every sinner has a future." She had just turned 19 at the time of her murder. Dana and Chris's youngest child, yes?
I feel like you're already like halfway in. I want a family tree because you're throwing all these like names and babies at me. Oh, okay. All right.
Is that
Exciting.
good?
I
All right.
like to,
The only thing is that Hannah Gilly is Hazel.
yes.
Okay. And Hannah Mae, they
Yeah.
only have her one daughter there. She does have another daughter named Sophia.
Got it. Now we're
Is there
talking.
anything else I can help you with?
No, I'm so excited about this family tree.
Okay.
Let's go.
Dana and Chris's youngest child, Christopher Don Roden Jr., was born November 4th, 1999. He was only 16 when he was murdered. He spent summers working as a laborer at the Big Bear Lake Family Resort. His high school superintendent told reporters, quote, "He was the first one that, if he thought that someone wasn't being treated fairly or felt like someone wasn't being treated appropriately, he would speak up about it." He had just
No.
recently gotten his driver's license and was described as being small in stature but loud in voice. He was a typical rebellious teenager with a penchant for parties. So, if you'll notice, it seems like the whole family is being targeted.
Yeah.
Kenneth Wayne Roden was born March 30th, 1972. He was married in 1991 to Stacy Rigsby, but later divorced in 2006. He had four children and four grandchildren. A hard worker, Kenneth woke every day at 4 a.m. to commute to his job at U.S. Utilities in Columbus. He lived alone with his pit terrier mix named Brownie. He was Chris's older brother, being 44 at the time of his murder. And Gary Dwayne Roden was born December 19th, 1977, in Kentucky. He lived with his best friend and cousin Chris, who had helped him overcome drug and alcohol issues. He was kind and generous, and his father described him as a hard worker who would give you the shirt off his back. He liked fishing and hunting, and as I said, his best friend was Chris. He was 38 when he was murdered. So,
Who did it?
real quick, I just want to show you some pictures because, they're nice pictures.
Ladies.
This is Frankie holding his first son, Brentley. This is Frankie and
He's got
Hazel.
a digital camera and he looks so excited.
There's Frankie, his fiance Hazel. Brentley is 3 at this time, and then there's Ruger. And then
Hazel, so short.
there's Frankie holding his baby Brentley.
Oh,
This is Hannah
no.
Mae and her daughter Sophia. There's Sophia there hugging a beagle. There aren't a lot of pictures of Kylie because she's was 5 days old.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Bobby Joe arrived at Chris Sr.'s home to find the front door was locked, but the dogs were nowhere to be found. The family had two pit bulls, a wolf dog. What?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What's Bobby Joe's relationship to the family again?
She is Dana's sister.
Okay. Dana's the mom. The
Yes. And
ex-wife mom.
yes.
Got
And
it. Okay.
Dana, she and Chris still had a good relationship, so they all kind of lived very close to each other.
Got it. Makes sense. There's a lot of newborns in the mix, so they probably want to help out with the babies.
Yeah.
All
Lots of
right.
babies. So Bobby Joe arrived at Chris Sr.'s home to find the front door was locked, but the dogs were nowhere to be found. The family had two pit bulls, a wolf dog,
Yeah.
and coon dogs.
Oh.
And they were described as being fierce.
Okay.
Bobby Joe and her brother James, so they were both Dana's siblings, entered the first trailer on Union Hill Road to find the bodies of Chris Sr. and Gary Roden. Bobby Joe called 911 around 7:50 a.m., telling dispatch, quote, "There's blood all over the house. My brother-in-law is in the bedroom. Someone beat the hell out of him." After discovering the first two bodies, Bobby Joe and James checked the neighboring trailer.
So many cars. Didn't you say that the dad collected cars or like
Yeah, one of his hobbies was salvaging cars. They checked the neighboring trailer. The trailer contained Frankie and Hazel, as well as their children, Brentley and Ruger. Brentley had been sleeping on the couch, so when Bobby Joe started pounding on the door that morning, Brentley was the one who unlocked it for her. Brentley's
Did she
alive.
did he but did he see his parents' bodies?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Inside, she found Frankie and Hazel dead in their bed. Both children, Brentley and Ruger, were unharmed. Ruger was on his hands and knees, stroking his father's chest. It appeared as if his mother had earlier nursed him or had been nursing him when she was shot, because Ruger was like in bed with them. And when he was found, he was covered in blood. After this discovery, James went to another nearby trailer looking for his sister. The door to her tra and meanwhile, I think Bobby Joe was getting the kids out of the house.
Yeah.
The door to her trailer opened by itself, is what he said. James entered and yelled for Dana. When she didn't respond, James went into her bedroom. The room was dark, so he just kind of touched the bed, and he felt her there. So he began to try and shake her and wake her up. When she didn't wake, he ran back out of the house. When police arrived, they found the bodies of Chris Jr. and Hannah in the trailer with Dana. Everyone was still in bed. Hannah's newborn daughter, Kylie, was found unharmed, laying beside Hannah. Several hours later, at 1:26 p.m., another 911 call was made by Donald Stone. He had arrived at his cousin's home on Left Fork Road and entered the home calling out for his cousin with no reply. He called the police after finding the body of his cousin, Kenneth Roden, in bed in his trailer, located 7 miles away from the other victims. So
They
these
went
eight.
to two different places to massacre this specific family.
Yeah. These eight
Jeez.
people were spread out over several miles apart, all
Yeah.
related to each other in four different trailers. With the discovery of the bodies, the area was soon swarmed with police, family, and friends. It was 8:14 a.m. when Chelsea Robinson got the news. Do you remember who she is? Frankie's ex-girlfriend slash Brentley's mom.
Yes.
Someone called her to tell her that her son, Brentley, was all right. But his dad and all the other Rodens had been murdered. She left her job at a doctor's office in Portsmouth, stopped to pick up her mom, and made the normally 45-minute trip to Union Hill Road in just 20 minutes. They arrived before all the roads were blocked off, so she pulled in front of Frankie's trailer and jumped from her car to search for her son. Chelsea found Brentley with Bobby Joe. Bobby Joe had wrapped him in her sweatshirt and was waiting outside the trailer with him and Ruger. Brentley wasn't crying and didn't appear to be unsettled at all. And when he saw his mom, he ran over to her. Chelsea hugged Brentley for a long time before she put him in the back of her car. Samantha, Chelsea's mom, was handed Ruger, and she doesn't remember who handed her to him, but all of a sudden she had this bloody baby in her arms, and she just cradled him for 3 hours while he was covered in the blood. She comforted him while he cried, and he eventually fell asleep before Child Protective Services took him from her. All the children were examined by physicians, and they were all cleared medically. Chelsea, before leaving with Brentley, was told by authorities that Brentley likely didn't see anything because he slept during the murders. Unfortunately, it seems Brentley saw a bit more than they had thought. Over the next year, Brentley shared bits and pieces with his mother. On one occasion, he told Chelsea, quote, "I picked up Daddy's hand and it just fell." Did you get chills? I just got chills.
That's so sad. No, I didn't get chill.
And according to Chelsea, he still remembers seeing everything bloody. He calls it bled. Like everybody was covered in bled. Isn't that
I
sad?
don't like this.
This is kind
Okay.
of. This is a map to show you how far apart everything was.
Yeah. Jesus.
The bodies were taken to the Hamilton County Coroner's Office in Cincinnati. All but one of the victims had been shot multiple times. In the first trailer, Chris Sr. had nine gunshot wounds to his head, torso, and limbs. Chris Sr. also had a fractured bone in his forearm, an apparent defensive wound. It's believed he was the first to be murdered. The autopsy report indicated that Chris Sr. had been shot through a door. Investigators suspected that Chris had been awake and saw the killer or killers approaching the trailer, and in the same trailer was Gary, Chris's cousin. Gary had been shot twice in the head and once in the face. A muzzle stain was found on the side of his head, indicating the gun had been pressed there.
Seems very personal
Yeah.
for both of them.
In the second trailer, Dana had been shot four times in the right side of her head and a fifth time under her chin. In the same trailer were her two children, Chris Jr. and Hannah. Chris Jr. had multiple gunshot wounds to the head, and Hannah had been shot twice in the head. In the third trailer, Frankie and Hazel had been shot multiple times while they were slept in bed. And as a reminder, Ruger was sleeping between them. Also, I didn't mention it, but just to remind you, Kylie, the 5-day-old, was also
Yeah.
sleeping in bed with her mom.
Yeah.
I don't like
You
the
mentioned that
gun.
in the beginning. Yeah, I don't. I also, because it seems like for the most of them were asleep. Like, why do you need to shoot them multiple times in the head while babies are right next to them?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Hazel had been shot 5 times, and one of the bullets entered through her left eye.
Ew.
Oh, and I guess I didn't put it, but I believe Kenneth was the one that was shot just once in the head. On April 28th, Gary Roden was the first to be buried. He had been sent home to be buried in Kentucky.
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 She's listening to an accent.
On May 1st, Hazel Gilly was buried in Ohio. And on May 3rd, the other victims were buried. Chris and Dana and their three children were all buried together.
You should make that one of the questions for Lacey. What state did you add a fun accent to?
Okay, that's a good one. I'll add it right
Yeah.
now. I'll put Drew slipped into an accent. When was it?
What word was it, and what accent is it?
What would the answer be for that? I don't know what accent I
Whatever,
just did.
whatever you think you wanted to.
I just said Kentucky.
It's definitely like a southern one.
I think I just mispronounced the word.
Mispronouncing the word if we like still understood it? Isn't that just what an accent is?
Now, initially, police believed that more than one person must have committed the murders. Do you agree?
It's a lot of people, but you know, if the suspicion is that who's the dad, Chris, was if his trailer was taken down first and they have a suspicion that he was shot through a door, you know, that first initial shot could have subdued him, sort of, and then everyone else was shot asleep. But it's also very unlikely that you start going through a home and shooting people while they're asleep and someone else doesn't wake up.
Yeah, so it seems like maybe they were all shot at the same time.
Yeah, or like seconds apart.
Okay. Who do you think was like the main target? Do you think it was the whole family or do you think it was one person specifically?
It's looking, I feel like Chris was probably the main target, but he's also the head of the family. And then I don't know. I think it like trickled down to just wanting to destroy the family.
Okay. They believed most of the victims had been asleep at the time of their demise, but the crime scenes were so spread out, they suspected multiple people were involved. So exactly what you said. The two crime scenes were within walking distance. Sorry, two of the crime scenes were within walking distance of each other, but the third was located a mile away, and the fourth was 8 miles away. Investigators quickly ruled out the possibility of a murder-suicide type situation, since none of the deaths appeared to be a suicide. So, like,
That also feels very okay.
it's like if you have a checklist to figure out for you to for work, if you have a checklist and it's like, make sure they're not a dog. Okay. It's clearly a cat, but I'll make sure. It's like, okay. It's clearly not, but okay, I'll check the box. Anyway.
Got it. I wasn't sure where you're going with that
I know,
analogy.
I'm sorry. Due to the fact that the killings were planned, premeditated, and seemed to be pretty sophisticated in that the killers covered their tracks and removed any incriminating forensic evidence, residents of Peebles were advised to stay inside the following night. Police urged the surviving members of the Roden family to take precautions. Can you imagine how
Take
terrifying?
precautions. Put a cop outside my house. What do you mean take precautions?
Well, I think the problem was that. So the remaining members of the Roden family, I think they were. They told. I know that they told Chelsea Robinson and Brentley to take precautions. And then Chris's parents, Dana's parents, I think the problem was they didn't know who the like why they were targeted. So they didn't know like are they what is happening, basically. They were just like, everybody just be careful.
Also, the whole fact about like stay inside. Okay, but the victims were inside in their
Yeah.
house.
That didn't seem to stop anybody. Chelsea, I didn't write it down, but she did an interview later about what like they did, and for a while after this, like she her mom stayed with her and Brentley for a while, and like one of her neighbors was like, "I'll take naps during the day so that I can stay awake with a shotgun overnight." Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was very nice as far as like a neighbor, but also like, damn, like people were scared. The children, Ruger and Kylie, were placed in the custody of CPS, while Brentley and Sophia went with their surviving parents. So I told you that this was the biggest investigation in Ohio history. A task force led by the Ohio Bureau of Criminal Identification and Investigation, which from now on I'm going to call BCI, was formed of at least a 100 investigators. More than 250 law enforcement officers were involved in the investigation, and sheriffs from 25 offices offered resources. The
That's not a
FBI
lot.
and the DEA also provided technical expertise.
Are we thinking drugs are involved?
So, with all this manpower and resources, what did they do? Well, on April 25th, 3 days later, it was announced that investigators had found indoor grow houses in three of the four crime scenes. Within these grow houses, hundreds of cannabis plants were found, along with chickens and equipment consistent with breeding chickens for cockfighting. About 200
What's wrong with chickens? Got it. Got it.
plants had been recovered from the three crime scenes. So, investigators began suspecting that perhaps the Mexican drug cartel was involved in the murders.
They came up to Ohio.
I mean, why not?
Mean, that's like one of the furthest states from Mexico.
None of what I just told you was abnormal for Pike County, by the way.
And I wasn't gonna like typecast, but it seems fair.
In the years preceding the murders, police seized 22,000 cannabis plants and 2 years later discovered a major growth site. So they were like, people were just growing marijuana all over the place.
Here's my question. What do they do when they seize these cannabis plants?
I think they burn them.
What, isn't that gonna get you high?
Yeah. I don't know. They're destroyed, I believe.
Okay.
Or if you're in Super Troopers, I think they steal them or something. I don't know. Both of those cases, police believed the Mexican drug cartel had been involved in those too.
Okay.
I feel like maybe the Mexican drug cartel might be a scapegoat.
Yeah.
Because there doesn't seem to be any evidence of the drug cartel being involved. Just the
We're
fact that they
also,
keep saying it.
I feel like if specifically for like these murders, if the drug cartel was behind this, I hate to say it, but I feel like they wouldn't take mercy on the children.
Yeah.
So I mean, they wouldn't risk any survivors. And they might be even more brutal with like it also they like they were shot multiple times in the head. That's personal. Like you can shoot someone one time in the head and they're dead.
Yeah.
Like multiple times is like there's like beef or feud or something happening here.
The following day, after the announcement of the discovery at the crime scenes, Dana Roden's father told reporters that it was not a drug cartel. Leonard Manley said that Dana had two viciously protective dogs. There was no indication that the dogs tried to attack the shooters. Also, there was no sign of forced entry at any of the homes. He also denied that Dana was involved in any cannabis operation. Some family members of the Rodens have said that they knew that Kenneth and Chris Sr. grew cannabis, but they weren't like drug lords about it.
Just the cockfighting.
Yeah. On May 3rd and 4th, investigators towed vehicles away from the property as part of the investigation. On May 12th, three of the mobile homes were relocated to a secure location, i.e., the task force's command center. And a few days later, the fourth mobile home was relocated. Over the next several months, more than 500 tips had been submitted, and around 150 interviews had been conducted.
Well, I mean, they have that much manpower. They should be able to
Yeah,
tackle
it's
that
like,
much.
what do you want me to do today? I don't know, go talk to somebody.
File something.
Go take the trailer. I don't know.
staple some like pictures together. I don't know, put photos on a bulletin board.
Make the lines. On August 20th, Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine announced that the investigators confirmed that the perpetrators had been familiar with the family, their homes, and the area.
I think I just figured that out within the first like
Yeah,
20
it took
minutes,
4 months
anyways.
to figure that out. During the same interview, DeWine also announced that the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and other federal agencies had joined the investigation.
What? It's Ohio. What are they
Okay,
worried
well,
about?
there's also
Canada?
8 people.
Okay,
I
but like.
think that maybe they were just like, it's the Mexican drug cartel, and now everybody's like, oh shit. You know how
Okay.
people are.
But I mean, like, you have the FBI and the DEA already here. Like, you
Yeah.
really need Homeland Security at this point?
The drug cartel is so big.
But it's 4 or 5 months into it, and no one else is getting slaughtered.
Because they've already taken care of that operation. They've done their
Okay.
job. Don't worry about it.
It just feels like there's too many cooks in the kitchen, and we just keep on adding more.
Do you think that could be a possible hindrance to the investigation?
Yeah, because how the fuck are you all sharing information with each other and having accurate and the most updated information every day?
I feel like you're being a real pessimistic Patty.
Pessimistic Patty?
Listen, in the end, it's solved, so cool
Opposed
your
to
jets.
optimistic Ophelia or whatever.
What?
You said pessimistic Patty, and I
Yeah.
said opposed to optimistic
Yeah,
Ophelia.
and you said Ophelia, and I feel like there's
Yeah,
a
that
lot of
starts with
other
an O.
names. What?
That starts with an O.
Yeah, but there's also like other names that are much more common than Ophelia.
Like what?
Olivia.
Oh my God.
A
Get out. Continue.
few days later, officials in Kentucky reported that they'd had a similar murder occur 2 weeks prior to the Roden murders. And there were many similarities. A well-known drug dealer and his girlfriend were shot execution style in their beds. Bed, they shared
Okay.
bed. Those killers were still at large, but they believed that they were familiar with the victim's home, and they also left the children unharmed in the house.
Okay.
Nothing became of that. And I also don't know anything more about that case, so don't ask me. By
Okay.
September 23rd, around 770 tips had been called in. On August 1st, DeWine announced that investigators were actively getting leads in the case, and they actually had enough evidence to prosecute.
And
But
are we?
then,
Oh, okay.
November 14th, Pike County Sheriff Charles Reeder asked people with knowledge of the killings to please come forward. So, like, if you have enough evidence to prosecute, like, why are we still pleading with the public?
We're being extra sure.
Later that month, vehicles and farming equipment that had been seized from the investigation were returned to the victim's relatives. So it seems like they're done with those.
Okay.
What I don't understand is that these people were murdered in April. We're
Yeah.
now in November, and I told you in the beginning it takes 2.5 years to solve this case.
Yeah.
So, like, what are we doing here?
Well, is it the vehicles that like the trailers, or is it like
I think it was
some
just all
family
that
car?
stuff that was there. But what I'm saying is, like, they're saying that they know what's going on, they have enough evidence to prosecute, but it's still.
Well, it's probably because they don't have good communication through the grapevine of how many people are there. I'm
You're
not
really
happy with
upset
it.
with how many people.
You told me the task force is supposed to be small, efficient, like, whatever. This is excessive.
Well, okay, so first of all, real quick, the FBI and the DEA are not like helping. They just offered technical support.
You said over 100 people were a part of the task force, though, in the
Yeah, I
beginning.
just said that.
Okay.
If it
The
makes you
task
feel any
force.
better, the FBI and the DEA aren't.
It's just for comparison, the task force for John Wayne Gacy was probably about like 8 or 10 guys.
That was so long ago, though.
Okay.
And how many people did John Wayne Gacy kill?
33.
But how many did they know about when they started the
33.
task force?
Oh, they knew at least one and had suspicions of four.
Okay. Well, if you
They
double.
also, four of those people in the task force were doing 24/7 surveillance off of this man,
I
too.
really think that the manpower was because they thought that there might have been a drug issue going on.
Well, it's just
Because
ridiculous.
if they were going to take on a cartel, you know.
I feel like you should wait until you have confirmation that you're taking on a cartel and then bring people in.
Well, I mean,
Because who's to say
do they
that
have a
there is
lot going on
not
in Ohio?
there, I'm sure, with all the drugs.
They all got tired of doing all the drug stuff, so they switched it up and everybody moved to
Like,
murder.
ooh. I don't know if anyone's seen like NCIS or like Homeland, but the cartels always have a mole in these agencies, and the more people that get involved, the more information you're getting back to the cartel.
But the more information that's getting back to the cartel is diluted because they're all playing the telephone game. Checkmate. So after they returned all of the cars and stuff, like nothing happened for months. That was the end of November. In May the following year, a SWAT team raided a home in Pike County, located approximately 10 miles from the site of the murders.
Just for fun, or
They originally said that they were searching for suspects in the murders.
okay.
However, it was later clarified that they were looking for evidence in the case, not suspects. Police
Okay.
also searched a property in Adams County that had recently been sold, and I'll tell you about who sold it very soon.
Ooh, okay.
In June 2017, DeWine issued a public inquiry about four members of the Wagner family.
Wagner.
The family had previously lived in Peebles, Ohio, but at the time, they were believed to be living in Alaska. George, aka Billy Wagner III, and his wife Angela Wagner had two sons, Edward, aka Jake, and George IV. Wagners attended the Roden funerals and had been longtime friends with the Rodens.
Were
Yes.
they?
And
Okay.
you'll learn more about that later. So here's a little bit
I have a
about the
meme.
Wagners. What?
That if you didn't tell me where they were from, I would have guessed like central US.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say. Were you gonna
Also,
guess Ohio?
no, I think it can give Kentucky vibes a little bit. The George or Billy Wagner III, so scary.
Yeah, I don't like him. And do you
He
want to
doesn't.
know more about why you shouldn't like him?
Sure.
So, Billy taught his sons how to be criminals.
Okay.
Jake, who is the scrawny one on the end,
Yeah.
he learned how to pick locks from his father when he was about 10 or 11 years old.
Well, if it's a
Once
family business.
that skill was mastered, Jake began stealing trucks.
Okay.
Jake was also good at arson.
Oh.
He set fire to his family's garage, burning down their house, and it as an in an effort to collect insurance money.
Okay, I was about to say, are you good at arson if you're burning down your own house?
Yes. The
Okay.
fact that they got the insurance money is
Yeah,
evidence.
no,
Yeah.
I got that, but.
But that was just the first time. They went on to burn their home down a second time, also to collect insurance money.
Did
The
they get it
second
the
time.
second time too?
Huh?
Did they get it the second time too?
The second time they filled a crock pot with chicken, put it on a propane stove, and allowed it to spill over, igniting in flames.
Okay.
Billy also made a living by selling stolen goods. For example, once he drove a trailer full to Mexico and returned with $100,000.
Okay.
When they weren't committing crimes, Jake and George IV were being homeschooled by their mother, Angela. If you know anything about homeschooling, which Lacey probably does, but she's not here, the teacher is still required to administer tests to the students. But Angela wasn't about that life.
Right.
She took the tests for the boys
Oh.
because she felt that they didn't need to know about social studies, history, English, or psychology. They were farmers and they were truck drivers. The boys didn't need to know any of that nonsense.
That seems, I feel like as a parent, you want your children to like excel and like maybe like have a better life than you. Sometimes, and it seems like kind of pigeonholing them at that point. Also, I'm assuming these are mug shots, and Angela looks like she's smiling.
Yeah, everybody else looks pissed.
Yeah.
The boys didn't go to checkup appointments because Billy didn't believe in going to the doctor.
Well, I mean, that's all that modern crap, and they put microchips in the vaccines too, so you know.
Don't start spreading that
Sorry.
misinformation.
It just feels like that's something she would teach.
Billy did it.
Okay, it feels like something Billy would teach.
Yes, it does. If one of them was injured, duct tape and electrical tape is what they used.
Okay.
When Jake was 18, he began dating Hannah Mae Roden. Do you remember Hannah Mae?
Yeah. Yeah, she was their daughter, right?
Yep.
Okay.
She was 13 at the time.
And he was how old?
18.
That's not a nice age gap.
Nope.
Okay.
Their relationship was described as being volatile, with Jake being manipulative, controlling, and just overall terrible to Hannah.
Well, he was 18, so.
He had admitted in audio recordings to hitting her, choking her, and pushing her against the wall.
Cool.
2 years after they started dating, in 2012, Hannah was 15 and pregnant. Sophia Wagner was born in November 2013, and in March 2015, Jake said in custody documents that Hannah decided that Jake worked too much and that Jake did not have enough time for her. Jake stated in the documents they stopped living together, but stayed involved in a non-exclusive remote romantic relationship and shared parenting of Sophia. But at the end of July 2015, Hannah became pregnant with her second daughter. No father's name was listed on the birth certificate. Hannah had been in three on-again, off-again relationships during the time in which Kylie was conceived. So, unsure who the dad
Go
is.
Hannah, play that field.
But in
So,
September 2015, Wagner, Jake, said Hannah broke off their relationship. My theory is that she found out she was pregnant with another man's baby, so she was like, you know what? We're done now.
yeah.
But he said they decided to share custody and parenting of Sophia going forward. What's your question?
So, after the murders, you said that the kids were returned to their other parents. So
So.
Sophia was sent to live with her dad, and it's this family.
Yes! Good job, Bailey. Paying attention. Lovely.
Fuck.
Now. If you recall from the beginning, Hannah began dating a guy named Corey Holdren in October 2015, a month after she found out she was pregnant. And around mid-April 2016, Hannah gave birth to Kylie Roden. It was actually April 17th, to be exact. This all, I'm sure you could imagine, upset Jake, who didn't want their relationship to end.
Yeah, 'cause why would you want to lose your 5 year younger girlfriend and
Detectives
be the
interviewed
mama?
friends and family members of the victims, and everyone except Jake Wagner voluntarily provided their phones.
Why, Jake?
3 weeks later, Jake was interviewed by BCI agents, and they noted that he had dyed his hair. A month after the murders, Jake was awarded sole custody of Sophia. He sold his home in Adams County, the one the SWAT team raided. And then they went to Alaska with his parents, brother, and Sophia. They went there to house hunt. Seems like a weird place to go. Like you're just gonna up and move from Ohio to Alaska? Okay.
They want more space.
Yes. So the Wagners were out of town at this
Okay.
point. Meanwhile, detectives started to connect the dots through cell phone records. They determined the last time the victims communicated with each other, and surveillance cameras from homes near the crime scene showed two vehicles driving through the area in the early morning hours of April 22nd, 2016. Investigators also found, oh, excuse me. They also found a Walmart receipt showing that Angela had purchased shoes that had been worn at the crime scenes. They found spent shell casings that had
She
been.
got. Did she purchase the shoes for this?
Yeah. I'm sorry. 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 Do you just have murder shoes in your closet?
No, but
No.
I don't think
You
I
have to
would like.
go and get them, Bailey.
I don't think I would pre-plan it this far, like
Do you
while
remember
premeditating.
from the beginning when I said that the family like stalked and.
No, I know that, but like I don't think I would like be like, okay, we're gonna premeditate this murder. What am I gonna wear?
Something on your feet. So the spent shell casings had been found on the crime scene, and investigators were able to connect them to the Wagner home. So the Wagners were in Alaska shopping for a new home. Meanwhile, the evidence was piling up, and all of it was seeming to look very fishy towards the Wagners. However, unbeknownst to police at the time, after Jake and Hannah broke up, Jake began obsessing about the men in Hannah's life. He started worrying that Sophia was going to be sexually abused by one of these men. Do you think, I wonder if he is concerned about that because he was dating a 13-year-old when he was 18?
Yeah, 'cause he knew how like easy manipulated young girls are from doing it. Also pot meat kettle, Jesus Christ.
Even though there was no evidence of anything like that happening, Jake could not slash would not let it go. I think it has to do with the controlling nature of his personality. Jake wanted Hannah to give up custody. His family drew up custody documents that she refused to sign. In response to the custody documents, Hannah posted on Facebook saying, quote, "I won't sign papers ever. It won't happen. They'll have to kill me first."
Okay, great.
After
I
seeing
don't blame
that,
her.
yeah. So after seeing that, Jake went to his dad, who we know is he's a very level-headed, wise, upstanding citizen.
I want to see what they would have responded to with when COVID came out.
And do you think they'd be the ones that just stocked up on toilet paper?
Yes. And they'd be the ones that were drinking I think it was like ivermectin, which is a veterinary dewormer, and thinking that it was curing COVID.
Jake merely suggested to his dad that they should
Right.
kill Hannah.
Right.
And also her new boyfriend. To make it look like Corey, the boyfriend, had murdered Hannah and then killed himself. Classic
Right.
murder suicide.
How did they go from that to killing the entire family?
Well, during the planning process, Bailey, you're spitballing ideas, you're running through possibilities. Like if we do A, well, what if B happens? For example, if we kill Hannah's parents are just gonna fight for custody of Sophia, and they're gonna be in the same situation. It's easier, it's better to just kill the whole family, and then you don't have to deal with in-laws.
But if you do that, you risk getting caught and then losing your daughter forever. Also, at any point, Hannah could have been like, yeah, he statutory raped me.
Yeah. Also abused me?
Yeah,
Attacked me?
so no, I don't want to send my daughter there.
Yeah, but I will say that this seems like it seems like a tight-knit family who is not afraid to break the law, obviously. So I feel
Because
like
our
if she tried to keep Sophia away from them, they would just kidnap Sophia and go to Alaska.
mean, they essentially did. They just
Yeah.
killed some people all the way. Okay.
So they decided that it would be better just to kill the whole family. So after Jake and Billy got this idea in their head, they approached George and Angela, who apparently didn't say, "The fuck is wrong with you guys?" Because they were on board. They thought it was a great idea. They were like, "Yeah, let's fucking do it."
Family bonding.
So the Wagner family planned the killings for months using guns with homemade silencers, allowing them to kill the rodents as they slept. They bought a cell phone jammer and new shoes. They also forged custody documents stating that Hannah Mae Roden had agreed that her daughter would pass into Jake's custody if Hannah died. And if Jake died, the daughter would go to other members of the Wagner family.
Okay.
When the Wagners returned from Alaska in spring 2018, Sophia continued to live with Jake until November, when her father, uncle, and grandparents were arrested. Both Jake and George IV, the sons, were arrested during a traffic stop in Ross County. Angela was arrested at home, and the FBI had to track Billy down. They failed him in Lexington, Kentucky. Local police said Wagner was driving a horse trailer when they pulled him over and arrested him. At that time, Sophia was taken into custody by the Scioto County Children's Services. So, for 5 years after the murders, so like starting in 2016, 5 years. Members of the Wagner family continued to deny that they had any knowledge of who killed the Roden family or why. But on April 21st, 2021, the 5th anniversary of the murders, Attorney General DeWine announced that Jake Wagner had agreed to a plea deal to avoid the death penalty. He pleaded guilty to 23 counts. But he also agreed to testify against his family.
What an a-hole.
But you know what? On the plea deal, he said that if he testified against them, he doesn't want anybody to be given the death penalty.
Okay.
Billy, Angela, George, and Jake were all charged with 8 counts of aggravated murder, plus gun and pe death penalty specifications on each. 1 count conspiracy, 4 counts aggravated burglary, 1 count unlawful possession of a dangerous ordinance, 3 counts evidence tampering, one count each of forgery, unauthorized use of property, interception of wire, oral, or electric communication, obstructing justice, and engaging in a pattern of corrupt activity, as well as unlawful sexual contact with a minor. Billy's mother, you know, Billy, daddy,
Yes.
his mother, Frederica Wagner, and Angela's
Frederica.
mother, Rita Newcomb, were charged with 3 counts of forgery, 1 count of obstructing justice, and 1 count of perjury.
So it just seems like crime and disorder are a learned trait through
It's
this
in the
family. I'm
blood.
so glad Sophia was with them for a year.
Yes. Both women lied to a grand jury. Rita specifically had said that she signed the forged custody agreement, but, you know, that was a lie because it was forged. The indictment alleged that Rita Newcomb forged a court document 19 days before the murders. Charges were eventually dropped against Frederica Wagner in June 2019. So, Jake agreed to talk. Do you want to hear what he has to say?
Oh, it wasn't his idea, blah 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 blah.
No, he's taking responsibility.
Oh.
He said he shot and killed 5 of the 8 victims, including Hannah, and shot and wounded the sixth person. So he shot 6 people. Of the 6 people that he shot, 5 of them died from his gunshots. The sixth one was Chris Roden Sr., and he just wounded him. So I think that somebody else finished.
Finished him up.
Yeah. Now, if you recall, Hannah was killed as she was laying in bed with her newborn.
Yes.
Jake said that the gunshots to Hannah actually propelled her off the bed. He picked her up, put her back in bed, and then positioned her body so that her newborn daughter could continue nursing. He made it so that this 5-day-old baby could nurse off of her dead mom.
Okay.
He then picked
Great.
up the shell casings and cell phones and left. When asked about the guns, Jake told investigators that they had gifted a family member a DIY boat anchors for Father's Day. The anchors had been made by pouring concrete into buckets, and unbeknownst to that family member, the Wagners had put the murder weapons inside the concrete. Later, while
That's
the boat
kind of
anchors
smart,
were in
though.
use, huh?
It's kind of smart, though.
Later, while the boat anchors were in use, the rope connecting the anchors to the boat had been cut, allowing the anchors and murder weapons to sink into the pond. After obtaining a search warrant, authorities found the anchors, chipped away the concrete, and discovered the weapons. These weapons were then matched to the shell casings found at the murder scenes. Following Jake's confession, Angela Wagner agreed to a plea deal. She pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit aggravated murder, burglary, evidence tampering, and some other charges in September 2021. In the plea deal, the prosecutors dropped the aggravated murder charges in exchange for her testimony against the others. So they're all turning it against each other, which I think is funny because, like, they were all ride or die when it was time to kill somebody. But then now that they're caught, they're all like, I'll
What
testify.
was Yeah. That seems it's yeah, it
Yeah.
seems on brand.
Angela confirmed that although her entire family, including herself, participated in the planning, she was not present when the murders occurred. Jake later confirmed this by clarifying that he and his father did all the shooting after the family plotted and planned.
But she bought shoes.
Well, she bought shoes for everybody.
She
I
got a
don't
new
know.
set of shoes and she didn't get to wear them.
Maybe she was like, these are too cute for blood. Angela, after making her plea deal, made a statement at her sentencing hearing. She said she knows the pain the rodents feel must be unbearable. She cited her personal brokenness for letting herself get swept up in the murderous scheme. In response,
Fuck you.
the presiding judge, Judge Jonathan Hine, said, quote, "You're the only person that could have stopped the whole thing with one phone call. All you had to do was call in and stop the whole thing. The depravity was that you didn't see the moral need to shut the whole thing down. Clearly, any decent human being could have done that little bit to save so much." Angela was sentenced to the mutually agreed upon sentence of 30 years with 2,244 days for time served. And upon her release, she must register as a violent offender for 10 years. So she's going to be on a list.
Good. I hope she gets fucked up in prison.
In September 2021, so a couple, when was that? I don't know. Oh, like the same month. So the same month, Jake Wagner also made a statement before his sentencing, and blah, 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 blah.
Blah,
Many
blah, blah.
members of the Roden family walked out as he spoke. I have another family tree if you wanted to see it. I feel like you probably have a good understanding of everything.
Yeah, at this point I kind of got it, but thank you so much.
You're welcome. So, do you want to know why they walked out?
Because he's a tool.
I have a little quote for you. He legitimately said he wasn't asking for forgiveness, but, quote, "Hate will not heal your heart."
Fuck you.
I can't believe he wasn't attacked. Like,
I hope he gets attacked in prison. Like,
no, but
go
I'm
at
saying, like,
it.
if this asshat murdered 8 members of my family and then had the balls to talk to me like that, I would lunge at him.
Like, rise above it, guys. Hate's not gonna do anything.
You know what?
Go fuck yourself. I can hate the shit out of you.
The judge, who was also Judge Hine, sentenced Jake to 8 life sentences.
Good.
But to the surprise of everyone, 8 life sentences with the possibility of parole after 32 years.
How old was he when he was sentenced?
He was 5 years older than Hannah, and she was 19.
Oh, okay.
24.
I feel like he's not going to, like, this is a family that's not going to, like, have prison as a rehabilitation. So just leave them in there.
The possibility of parole was a little reward for cooperating with the investigators. If he does get
Well,
released, he too will have to register as a violent offender as well as a sex offender.
I feel like he there I don't think any parole board is going to approve that, and also I'm sure the not the Wagner family, because this is the Wagner family. Who's the other family?
Rodents.
The Rodens, like the members will continuously block that shit.
I hope so, 'cause I think that what you were saying when they're not going to be rehabilitated, if anything, I think they're going to learn more skills.
Yeah. Yeah.
George the Fourth was 31 when his trial began in September 2022. He was indicted on 22 counts. During his trial, the prosecution focused on establishing the motive for the murders. They called George's ex-wife Tabitha, as well as Jake's ex-wife. Did you know that Jake had an ex-wife? I didn't.
No.
They called Elizabeth Beth Ann Armour. Beth Ann testified that she fled her short marriage due to fear. Angela Wagner had accused Beth Ann of touching Sophia inappropriately. Jake had told Beth Ann that if she had in fact touched Sophia, he was going to string her up in the barn and beat her to death with a bat, specifically one that resembled the bat from The Walking Dead.
Oh, so with barbed wire.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then he said he'd bulldoze the barn, burn it down, and then hunt down and kill the remaining family members, her family. So as a result, Beth Ann had a friend help her flee to Alaska, which I thought was interesting that she fled to Alaska and then they're trying to move there.
It also feels like foreshadowing for how he said that he would treat her. And also, I forgot my train of thought, but that is
Why are they all so like suspicious of everybody sexually assaulting this child?
because he is a good dad.
Well, no, the mom accused Beth Ann. My concern, so first of all, they never found any evidence that Sophia is being sexually assaulted. But my concern is that you know how like cheaters will accuse you of cheating?
Yeah.
My concern is that, like, there was some molestation in that family, and so they were worried about her safety, and so they were just being very vigilant and accusing everyone. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, technically, you could make the defense that he molested
Hannah.
Hannah. Yeah.
What
Even
I'm
though
saying is that
Sophia,
maybe he's a victim too.
yeah, no, I got that part, but like also like
There's no evidence to suggest that. I just find it weird that that everybody in that household seems very suspicious of everybody about molesting this child.
very uncomfy, and I'm uncomfortable.
Okay, I'll move on then. So Jake took the stand at his brother's trial, and he testified for about 6 hours. He described the planning process and the actual execution of the murders. He explained that George never pulled a trigger that night. At the beginning, when they were first approaching Chris Sr.'s trailer, George was in a firing position and but just like refused to fire. So Jake told him, even though Jake told him to. So
Is
Jake
George
grabbed the.
old?
Yes.
Okay.
By a year. So not that much older, but like. I don't know. His picture is giving me like he's more. He's not a good guy, but he's gentle. You know?
I mean, I'm sure he's gentle compared to
Like,
Jake and
he's
his dad.
giving vibes like he doesn't mind robbing people, but he doesn't want to hurt anybody.
Got
But
it.
okay. Jake said that he was holding the gun up at Chris Sr.'s house, but he wouldn't pull the trigger. Jake was like, shoot. And George just would not pull the trigger. So
It.
Jake took the gun and started shooting at the house, which is how Chris got shot through the door. The prosecution alleged Wagner was with his brother and father when they went to the homes, that he went inside and that he helped his brother move two bodies. George's attorneys emphasized that he didn't kill anyone and argued that denying him a meaningful chance of parole would be unconstitutional, cruel, and unusual punishment.
But you could also say that he, yes, he didn't kill anybody, but he was part of the planning process and he was going to until he choked.
I think that you could argue that he should have been charged with this accessory.
Yeah.
George's trial lasted about 3 months, but the jury took less than 8 hours. They found George Wagner IV guilty on all charges. Judge Randy Deering sentenced George to life in prison without parole. on all 8 counts of aggravated murder for each victim, as well as counts of conspiracy, aggravated burglary, and tampering with evidence. Those sentences range from 10 months to 8 years, but he was also sentenced to 81 years on firearm specifications to be served consecutively to his prison sentence on this charges. Some people have a bit of an issue that George was sentenced to life without parole and he didn't kill anybody, but Jake was sentenced to life with the possibility of parole and he killed 5 people.
I get, yeah, but like also there's the whole deal that happened, and
Yeah.
I don't think Jake is going to see a parole board that's going to be like, yep, let's put him back on the street.
Hopefully. His attorneys filed a motion for a new trial, but Judge Deering denied that. In 2019, Rita Newcomb, Angela's mother, took a plea deal, and in January of this year, she was sentenced to 90 days in jail on an obstruction of official business charge, with 83 days suspended. She served her 7 days, and then she was placed on probation for 5 years. And was ordered to pay a $750 fine plus court costs. If she violates her probation, she will be taken to jail to serve the remaining 83 days. Her other charges were dismissed. So, the patriarch of the Wagner family, his murder trial was scheduled to start early this year. Judge Jonathan Hine granted Wagner's request for a change of venue due to the intense media coverage from the case.
It's fair.
And Billy Wagner maintains his innocence.
It's fun for him.
I'll keep you posted if I hear anything more, but that's what I got for you thus far. He hasn't gone on trial yet. George is in, everybody else is in jail. And currently, huh?
Sorry, continue.
Currently, the custody of Kylie, Ruger, and Sophia is unknown. Because they're all minors, the court documents have been sealed for their protection. But the remaining members of the Roden family are hoping that once the trials are over, they can get custody. They have missed Kylie's first coups and Ruger's first steps. Family members say they routinely call the Pike County Children's Services to check in on them. And they are always told that the kids are doing well, but no one in the family knows where the babies are or who they're with. They don't know if the cousins are together or apart, and some can't help but wonder if the babies will recognize their family. Others wonder if whoever is caring for them shows them pictures of their parents or talk about them. And sadly, Dana's dad, Leonard, died in 2021 before anybody went to trial.
Try to maintain your innocence when your son literally took a deal to tell the truth.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you want me to pull that his face back up?
No,
He
he looks pissed and scary and
he's giving off like I feel like he's the kind of person who'd be like, I don't give a shit about that kid. He's lying. He's not even really my kid. Like, I feel like
Jake doesn't look like him. His firstborn looks spitting image of his mom and him. Jake is he's he looks like the milkman's kid. Oh.
well, that was sinister.
And we were sarcastic.
And we hope you keep listening. Bye, Lacey.
Hi, Lacey.